Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The subject we have been pursuing for the last several broadcasts is the question, how God speaks to people. And we are taking it from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, and we have learned that God speaks to people by His Holy Spirit, but more specifically, by His Holy Spirit creating the written word through which God speaks to people. God speaks to people through His Word. But of course, His Word was a process that took place, the production of it took place over several centuries, and there were men chosen as the instruments to bring that about. But they were, of course, empowered and guided and guarded by the Holy Spirit in what they did. But they were all the while producing a book that we call the Bible. A book of 66 books, it's really a small library of books that cover many centuries during the course of their writing and accumulating these books together into the book we call the Bible. But the most interesting thing that we learned yesterday is how that the same Holy Spirit who gave His Word to the prophets also created within them a hunger for the written word. They wrote the word, but they didn't treat it as some, what should I say, some common thing. Sometimes that's the way we are. When we are too familiar with something, we treat it as common. But that isn't what happened to them, though they were the very ones who penned the book that we call the Bible. Nevertheless, they had a Holy Spirit wrought desire to study and understand the Bible better. We'll look more into that as we continue on this Tuesday, April 9. I'm so thankful for the opportunity of joining together with you in this Bible study of this portion of God's Word. And I'm very grateful for those who help us financially to maintain this broadcast on this station. Well, let me read once again the verses in view in 1 Peter 1:10. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And so the prophets were not only instruments to whom the Holy Spirit imparted information, to whom the Holy Spirit predicted future events, through whom the Holy Spirit spoke to others, for they became mouthpieces for God. But the prophets also, by the same operation, or I should say by the operation of the same Spirit, became interested students of the Word. They became students of the Bible, having a keen interest in it, they who had written it down themselves. The fact that they had been the instruments that God used to write it down did not diminish their interest in it, but rather seemed to accelerate their interest in it. Again, evidence that they knew that they were instruments in the hands of God. They knew that the Holy Spirit was speaking to them. They knew that this was God doing this. If they had been doing it themselves, out of their own minds, out of their own ambitions, out of their own thoughts, out of their own motivation to write down some religious thoughts, then they wouldn't have had this keen interest to study their own writings to learn more. What more can you learn? When I write something down, I don't read it to learn anything except, well, I don't read it to learn anything new. Sometimes I'll come back to it at a later time to review, to see what it was that I said at the time. At the time I write something, I will read it several times in order to proofread it, to see if I have made any mistakes, to see if there's a better way of expressing things. The key, I'm told, to good writing is rewrite, 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 rewrite. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. If you write it the first time and are satisfied with that, you'll never be a good writer. But if you write something and then revise and revise and revise and revise, you may become a good writer. That won't guarantee it, but the failure to do that will certainly guarantee that you'll never be a good writer. But I don't read what I wrote in order to learn anything. What I wrote is less than what I know, right? I've only written down a very small portion of that which I already know and understand. So I'm not going to learn anything new by reading what I wrote. I learn a lot of new things by reading what others write, but I don't read anything new by studying what I wrote. But these prophets did. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So the Holy Spirit produced through the prophets the book we call the Bible, but he also created in the hearts of the prophets a great hunger for the book we call the Bible. And surely we should understand, therefore, that diligent, serious Bible study honors God. A hunger for the Word is a mark of regeneration. Absent that, I wonder if you are saved. How do you know when a person is saved? Generally, if somebody calls themselves a Christian, say they have been saved, we'll generally take their testimony at face value, unless they just go out and live a totally profligate life, and then we probably will call into question. But I'm noticing that even more and more in our day, even calling that into question is seriously denounced by some. How dare you? How dare you say that I'm not a Christian because I'm living in fornication or adultery? How dare you say that I'm not a Christian because I'm out getting drunk and partying? And how dare you say that I'm not a Christian because of these things? Who gave you the right to judge? You can't see my heart. I know that I'm a Christian. You're not supposed to judge according to modern-day sentiments. It's not politically correct. And as soon as you do that, somebody's going to throw the Bible verse at you that says, judge not that you be not judged. No judging, which is not an understanding of that statement in its context at all. And the Bible commands us to judge. And the Bible tells us that by their fruit you shall know them, that is, those who are false professors, counterfeits. So most discerning Christians will at least raise questions about the reality of the salvation of someone who claims to be saved but lives like they're unsaved. But what about people who claim to be saved but are not in immorality? They're not living in constant drunkenness. They're not evidencing these grosser forms of sin. But they don't seem to have any interest in the Bible. Something wrong there. Something seriously wrong there. And the most dangerous thing about that is that most people don't even consider that to be a very serious matter. Okay, some people have an interest in the Bible. I don't have that much interest, but hey, I'm saved. How do you know? A mark of conversion is an interest in the Bible. As I preach, I can see faces of people, and this is not infallible by any means, but I can get a sense of who's really interested in the Word and who is not. And I am concerned for some people in our congregation who have made a profession of faith and are members of our church and are not doing anything scandalous that would cause us to call their Christianity into question, no reason to enact any kind of church discipline or anything like that. But I just notice they don't seem to have much interest in the Bible. They come to church, but they're just not interested in the Bible. Sometimes they display this lack of interest by finding reasons not to be in the sanctuary where the Bible is being preached. They don't get into that very often because they find other things to do. They volunteer. We're always looking for people to work in the nursery and to help with this and help with that. And sometimes there are people who volunteer for everything so that they almost never get into the church service where the Word of God is being preached. They don't seem to want to. Now, there are other people who will volunteer for jobs rather reluctantly because, on the one hand, though they are happy to serve the Lord, on the other hand, they don't want to miss. They don't want to miss. They just regret having to be out of any service because they have such an appetite for the Word. And so they really don't want to be involved in any area of ministry that takes them away from the preaching of the Word. They will volunteer for jobs that take place at other times, and there are many of those. And they're happy to be involved with those. We have all kinds of things. I won't go into them now, but all kinds of ways for people to serve the Lord outside the times of our normal church services. And there are some people who will get very involved in that, but they don't want to do anything that will take them away from a church service. And other people who seem to delight in being busy at church times more than they need to be. Sometimes we need to say, sometimes we'll talk together as pastors in our church and say, you know, I think we need to ask so-and-so to give up this area of service because they're doing this, and they're doing this, and they're doing this, and they're just not getting into the church service much at all. And that's not good. Not good for them. It's not good for the people they're trying to minister to. Where are they getting the spiritual nourishment from which to minister? But the greatest concern to me is, why don't they have this great hunger for the Word? That's got to be a concern. That's got to be a concern. Now, I'm assuming that those who are listening to this broadcast today are primarily people who are interested in the Word, or else you'd be listening to something else. You'd be listening to political talk radio, for example, which I'm sure is on other stations at this very same time. And some people would far rather listen to that than they would to the Word of God. But you have tuned in a Bible teaching broadcast. I take it, therefore, that you have an interest in the Word, and I can tell you that if you do, that didn't come from you, that came from the work of the Holy Spirit of God within you. God's Spirit created that appetite, and now God's Spirit is satisfying that appetite. Isn't that wonderful? Well, time's gone. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.